You are at war with yourself and likely don't realize it. Your thoughts, beliefs, habits, and actions often sabotage you. Are they helping you overcome adversity or setting you up for failure? To win this battle, you must connect with your inner warrior. We all have a warrior within us, one that strengthens our resolve and helps us to rise to meet life's challenges. If you're just surviving rather than thriving, then it's time to embrace the warrior archetype, live the warrior ethos, and ascend. If you are a veteran, first responder, or someone looking to take charge of your life, find your tribe, and then be the hero of your own story, this podcast is for you. Join Mike Kinney and Matt Hastings, two retired U.S. Army officers who served in U.S. Army Special Operations and Army Aviation Units, as they share with you optimal performance practices they learned in their time with the military and Warriors Ascent, a 501c3 nonprofit that helps veterans and warriors with PTS.
Well, all right, everyone. Welcome to the Warriors Ascent podcast with your hosts, Mike and Matt. And we have another episode with our special guest, Amy Schoenhoff from Mindfulness in the Heartland, going to talk about mindfulness. So let me set the stage by asking, hey, for those that have pursued a meditation practice, or even, I mean, not even just meditation, but just being thoughtful, or you're just walking through your day and ruminating about things, you know, you want to be intentional, you want to be mindful, you want to be centered, right? And oftentimes you get these invasive thoughts. It's whether it's anxiety, whether it's anger and ill will, doubt, you know, self-doubt might be one as well. And you're wanting to think positively. You're wanting to, you know, as we mentioned in a previous episode, bring a good attitude to a situation. You want to be mindful and attentive, but these thoughts, these invasive thoughts are kind of preventing you from that. And you're trying to deal with those and, you know, I'll say reconcile that. If that has ever happened to you, because I know it happens to me quite regularly. And when Amy introduced us to this concept, and, you know, we were talking about that before, as she's mentioned in previous episode and to us, I mean, she merely scratches the surface with regard to mindfulness practices and mindfulness-based stress reduction and all the things that she does. So every interaction, whether she's, you know, teaching, you know, another webinar or a seminar or refresher training, I learn new stuff. And every time I'm like, oh my God, Amy, that really resonates with me. Holy cow. You know, I've experienced that myself and you've put it into, I'll say, words or frameworks. So if anyone out there has ever felt that, yeah, there are these hindrances per se that impede my ability to just kind of drop in, well, you're in luck because Amy's going to speak to that today. So Amy Schoenhoff, working with hindrances. So I'm going to give the floor to you.
Okay. So I do want to preface by just going back to the conversation that you and I had after the last refresher, because it was a moment like we talked about mental noting. And the hindrances was kind of what I talked about with the people coming back for the refresher. And I remember you coming up after I had done my talk and just lit up about, oh my gosh, Amy, I know all of these things.
It resonated with me.
Yeah,
so,
but yes. It's just like, you know, these are negative mental states. When we talk about the hindrances, we're talking about negative mental states that do impede or influence how we're experiencing the present moment. And I also want to front load in terms of talking about the hindrances is that, you know, often these are things we start to explore once we've really established some time in practicing, because that's when we can really have the capacity to cultivate attention for long enough to really be able to drop into these negative mental states to really experience them. Like, you know, if we're really new to practice, it might be harder to kind of grapple with negative mental states or the hindrances. I'm really talking about things that you'll have more awareness of as you practice mindfulness over time.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of front load these things in terms of how, when they might show up and how we might work with them. And the other thing I want to say about hindrances, and for years, you know, I had seen the hindrances as things to resist or feel bad about. Like when they'd show up, I'd feel really, oh my gosh, you know, here I am sitting with anger and ill will and like, oh, this is a really crappy feeling and all of that. But the reality is when we can be with it and notice what makes the, like what conditions bring these hindrances to the surface and what conditions help them to disperse, just imagine the power that comes with that. Mm. When you can recognize, oh, I'm angry. And what's, you know, what conditions are arising that create anger in me right now? And what are the things that I can do to dissipate this anger in me? How much power there is in that.
That's right. Like some of the CBT stuff that we've talked about before. Your thoughts drive your emotions, drive your actions.
All this blends together.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, it's what are the thoughts? What are the thoughts that underpin those feelings? And if you can get to that root cause and say, are those rational? You know, are they not? Can I think alternative thoughts? Related to what it is that we were talking about.
Right. So I really want people to think about the hindrances. Although we talk about them as things that get in the way, they're really, they can be the sources of liberation if we can learn to recognize when they're present and notice what brings them about and then noticing as well what helps them to dissipate. So exploring the hindrances is not a bad thing. It's actually something that we want to spend time with and get better at knowing, because as we know them, then we can start to kind of remove the obstacles, right? Mm. That's how we can get rid of the obstacles. So you want to just talk about the different hindrances?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. See them up there, they're on the board behind you. So.
And so, you know, we'll just kind of orient to each one. And I'd ask you guys to like think about like what of these hindrances get in your way the most? You know, just as you're looking at them as we go through them. So first, there's sensual desire. And it's really important to distinguish sensual desire from desire, because you can have good, positive desires. Like you can have desires to, you know, be helpful or to be invested in your mindfulness practice or your self-care. Like there's desires that drive wholesome activities, wholesome things that we do. But here we're talking about more like sensual desires, like the desire for sex or the desire for food or, you know, that desire for drugs or, you know.
Hedonistic.
Yes, more of the hedonistic desires, you know, that those things can be a source of unskillful thoughts, unskillful behaviors. You know, that they move us into spaces that may not be helpful to us. The second one is ill will or anger. You know, that's a really common one. Anxiousness and worry. I know a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
have a sense of anxious. You know, like that's a real common.
That blocks a lot of people from a lot of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's doubt. So that can be like doubt of ourselves or a doubt of our practice, our ability to, for certain things to happen, our doubt that things like ever go our way.
Right.
And then we also have, let me see, I'm missing one from my
apathy
list.
And laziness.
Apathy and laziness. Yeah. So like that, that being tired, the not being motivated, the not wanting to do our practice or do the things that we know are good for us, or, you know, that these are all things that can get in the way of executing our lives in the way that we want to. And they can become ways that we get bogged down in these negative mental states. So as you look at the list, you know, do you have a sense of like where you get trapped? Like, do you have things that
every one of those at one time or another, but go ahead.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, I think some of them are blended, you know, like when you're anxious, worry all the time, then that kind of drives apathy and laziness. Cause like if I'm too worried or have so much doubt that no matter if I get up off this couch and go execute on this thing, it's probably going to be terrible. Everybody's going to look at me and laugh anyway. I'll just stay here, you know? And I've had that feeling before, or like, no matter how hard I try, I get the same outcome. So I'm just not going to try. You know, stuff like that.
Well, and when you think about it, when we can recognize that those thoughts are present and that each one of these hindrances has like a signature, Like we experience them in our bodies in particular ways. Like when you think about like, how does anger show up for you as a physiological sensation? Right. Where do you notice it? You know, seriously, I'm asking you.
No, I mean, that's what we were talking about before. For me, it's my heart. You know, we talked about that, you know, arrhythmias palpitate, you know, you start getting really worked up over something and I'm like, and I can feel that atrial flutter, you know? Mm-hmm. And as we talked about before, everyone thinks, well, hey, anger and fear and this, it's all, it hits you all the same way. It's like, no, it does not. Because I'm not saying I'm, you know, immune to, you know, fear or anxiety, but that hits me differently. You know, you feel that, I feel that flush, you know, that, you know, whatever it is, the adrenaline, you know, you almost get in a car accident as an example. You avert near to say, you feel that adrenaline rush and you're like, whoof. And then you come down off it. And that's a different feeling than that anger, which again, I can feel in my heart and will last for minutes or you know, hours, if not. Apathy and laziness. That's just like, I'm not going to say despondence, but you're just like, but you're just like, why bother? Or man, you know, people say, oh, what about, you know, this or that? Isn't this exciting? It's like, there's a guy, you know, speak to you who's flown $1 million aircraft, you know, in a combat theater. I'd hazard a guess that there are not too many things as exciting as that. You know, and then you know, in the special force, same thing. It's just like all things else are just kind of meh, you know? So in terms of apathy and it's not quite that bad, but you're like, it's hard to get like really excited about things that you're like, okay.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind too, is how do our minds proliferate through the thought mechanisms? How do they proliferate these states? You know, when you talk about feeling anger, you know, one of the ways that we can start to kind of decouple from the emotion is by recognizing that there's a proliferation of thoughts that kind of keep us agitated. I mean, have you noticed that?
Oh, totally.
That you'll just ruminate
you start
over
building. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's the limiting beliefs, you know, in part that Jeff talks about. You know, it's well, you know, I'm not good at this, or it always works out this
way. Like in the case of doubt, right? Like, or in the case of like feeling the apathy or laziness that I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
Right. Or cognitive distortions is the other thing. It always is this, or it's never that, or it's all bad, or things never work out.
Well, and so like getting familiar with these things, you know, like when we notice the agitation we can notice it as a physical, like if it's anger, noticing it as a physical sensation, like the more familiar we become with the signatures each one of these hindrances, the sooner we can catch ourselves, the sooner we can start to dismantle them. We can notice the thought chains that come along with them. Like what are our habits? What are our patterns? Because we all have mental habits and mental patterns, and they all have signatures within our bodies. So this is really like where once again, this idea of curiosity and investigation come, you know, go hand in hand with doing this work, as well as kindness and friendliness. Cause it's not like we want to, you know, beat these hindrances into submission. We really want to bring curiosity and kindness to the experience. And I really like to use the, like for me, a great visual when I'm talking about, you know, noticing the movements of the mind and the hindrances that show up in our practice, because they inevitably do, whether we're cognizant of them or not. But I really like to use the visual of like a stream, you know, that our life, the life force, whatever, like there's in all of our lives, there is an energy flowing through each one of us, right? Mm-hmm. And we're having this moment-to-moment experience of whatever's arising in the moment, and everything is just kind of passing through. And so I think about that as like this stream of flow happening within my body. And then I sense the hindrances as kind of like the rocks in the stream.
A little turbulence going.
Right. Well, and they subvert the flow, right? They subvert the flow of the energy. They change the course of the energy. And so rather than, and what does water do to rocks over time? Like it doesn't bash the rocks in, it simply smooths them and dissolves them through the movement, right? So the more that we can like bring a kind of kind awareness, it's kind of like the movement of the water. Like we just allow the hindrance to be there. We have awareness of it and we work with it. And it's through that work, that gentleness that we bring to it, that we actually can start to dissolve them, you know, so that there is more of a flow of, you know, get back to that flow of our experience. And that's the liberation. You know, that's the liberation when we're dealing with hindrances.
Well, and I think it's neat because we recently talked about how sometimes people feel a feeling and they label it as a bad feeling or a good feeling. So I don't want the bad feeling, so I'm going to push it over here. Mm-hmm. When in reality, you should probably let that feeling hit you for a while and kind of marinate in it and see what that feeling truly is.
Well, the fact that it's impermanent, like there's no feeling that lasts forever, right? So if we can bring awareness, the question is what we do with it, right?
Yeah.
So we can feel ill will, anger, right? It's what we do with it that matters. It's not the feeling that's bad. It's telling us something, right? Our feelings are, once again, the car analogy. It's like the indicator light on a dashboard. It's simply telling us that something needs our attention. So can we bring attention to it and be skillful in how we manage it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and recognizing that these feelings will move through us and that they will dissipate, you know, everything has its rise and its fall.
Yeah.
And so like, that's when we can work with different hindrances in different ways. So for example, with anger, it might be like naming, you know, I'm feeling anger right now and I notice it in my body as such and such sensation or whatever it is. It might be moving into doing some kind of formal practice like loving kindness or compassion, you know, things that help to kind of dissipate the feeling to start to, once again, recognize what works for us in terms of dissipating the energy of the emotion, you know, or the hindrance in this case.
So one of the things, I mean, to your point, that strikes me is, I mean, number one, these, you know, these hindrances, you know, being able to identify them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're, I'll say, there's an emotional aspect to it, right? Mm-hmm. Anxiousness, anger, et cetera, et cetera. So getting back to, say, some of the cognitive behavioral aspects, one of the things that Dr. Lee's taught us with CBT is, you know, obviously your thoughts drive your emotions, drive your actions. And there's some back and forth, certainly.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not all just one way.
Right.
Sometimes there's the, you know, hey, take action and you'll feel better. Okay, got it. But by and large, I mean, you're feeling something 9 times out of 10, there's a thought that underpins that. Well, he's got a very, I'll say, prescribed method of I'll say, retooling that. And the other aspect is, you know, System 1 and System 2 thinking. So when you talked about autopilot, according to Daniel Kahneman in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, he talks about System 1 being the autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
His contention is also the only thing that can reprogram System 1, those habits, those routines, is System 2, that deliberate thought.
Mm-hmm.
So in pursuit of that deliberate thought, there's a tool called the Daily Thought Record, wherein, hey, you're feeling something, got it. You know, I'm feeling sensuous desire. I'm feeling anxiousness or worry. I'm feeling anger, or ill will, apathy, laziness. I'm feeling doubt. Great. What are the thoughts that underpin that? So you're kind of getting into what's the diagnosis? Like how now can I'll say remediate that? Well, part of it is like, well, what's driving that? You know, is it subconscious? Is it limiting beliefs? Is it, you know, those cognitive distortions? Maybe it's reasonable. Maybe it's like, well, I've got good reason to be angry because these people did me wrong, you know? And you're like, all right, got it. You know, you had a bad experience. But then the next step is, if you don't want to feel that way, you know, if it's suboptimal, if it's impeding or if it's a hindrance, you know, as you've outlined, to dropping in and getting in a better mental state or emotional state, what might be an alternate thought then that will get you to a different place, you know, such that, you know, you may say, well, I've got a right to be angry, or, hey, this wasn't right, or I am annoyed, or whatever it might be. Great. But what else, you know, what can you think differently, or how can you use that productively? What have you learned from that? Now focus on that thought and get a different emotion to move past those hindrances.
Right. Well, and I think that that's potentially how we work with those things off the cushion. You know, when we're dealing, because the thing is, these things will show up on the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we're able to build the capacity to pay attention, the more we'll notice when they're actually happening. You know, we talk about when you notice the mental drift. You know, when you're noticing the mental drift, where is the habit of your mind? Where does your mind tend to go? You know, because we have patterns around those things. We tend to think about the same things over and over again. Right. And so, like, working with the hindrances on the cushion looks a little bit different than perhaps working with them in our daily lives. That is when we can get more into, like, building in other thoughts. But we don't necessarily want to be building more thought into what we're doing on the cushion.
That's a great point.
That could be an example. But as I say that, though, I think about loving kindness isn't necessarily a thought, but we're bringing in phrasing to meet whatever the difficult emotion is, right? So in the case of anger, we might bring in some loving kindness or compassion practice to kind of meet that. So I guess that would be kind of a, I don't know if it's a thought, I guess. It's a phrasing, you know, using words to help kind of bring us back to something that feels a little more wholesome and good. And that's the other side of it too, is that, you know, we're noticing when the hindrances are there and how we dissipate them.
Right.
But then we can also start to work with what's positive as well. Like when positive states show up and really recognizing like what makes a positive state arise and what does it feel like? What's its signature in my body? And then also like, how do I maintain it? You know, how do I keep this going without getting attached to it? Because that's the flip side, is when it feels good, we tend to want to hang on.
Right.
And when it doesn't feel good, we tend to want to push it away.
And, well, I mean, that's another great point, too, is that pushing away, that compartmenting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let me ask you, I mean, so from your perspective, any one of these, you know, anxiousness, mm-hmm. worry, apathy, doubt, you know, I'll just speak for myself, you know, when doubt creeps in, and I think, you know, the conversation is kind of centered, at least to a degree, that sometimes those emotions, certainly they're telling you something,
mm-hmm.
whether they be accurate or true or positive or negative or whatever, and, you know, that's open to interpretation or the circumstance. But when doubt creeps in, you can use it positively, like, all right, well, there's something making me feel this way. What is that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let me sit with it, as you're saying. Is it rational? Maybe it is rational. You know, maybe it's like, yeah, things could definitely go sideways. Things may not go as planned. And that's maybe a good thing, because now if that spurs you into, all right, well, what do I need to do to assuage that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something I can do to kind of remove some of that doubt? Or, you know, apathy and laziness, same thing. You know, you're like, it's hard to get excited. It's like, well, can you generate that?
Right. Can you? You know? We talked about that actually when we were talking about the hindrances on that.
Right.
The refresher is like when that laziness and apathy shows up. Can I just physically get up and move my body?
Right.
Can I go splash some water on my face? I mean, these can be. Can I do walking meditation rather than seated meditation?
Right.
Like that is working with the hindrance, not getting lost in it, not getting overwhelmed by it,
right.
but actually taking measures to stay in the present moment, to continue with our practice and allow those things to dissipate rather than being consumed by them or overwhelmed by them.
You know, the other thing, again, I mentioned that Brendan Burchard, he'll talk about performance necessity, right? So when you're like, I'm not feeling motivated, but when you can link it to, I need to do this because I may not enjoy this particular activity or what I'm doing right now, but linking it to like a bigger picture or a bigger end state or whatever it might be, you're like, okay, might be like with your kids. Your kids want you to, oh, play My Little Pony or something with me. And you're like, oh my, that's really bad. But you're like, I'm not too motivated to, but okay. I mean, if you've got daughters, but okay, I get it. You know, this means a lot to them. The end state is I want to have a loving relationship. I want to show them I care. And you're like, all of a sudden now your motivation and apathy turns into something more, you know, mm-hmm. it's like,
You found some fuel.
Yeah.
Now I see it's like, hey, the activity in of itself is not my bag, you know, but hey, if it means something to them, the end state is they had a good time. I've shown that, you know, I care and I love them. Hey, great.
Well, I mean, I think we all have that. Like, I know I should do this, but man, I don't want to right now.
Right.
You know, I'm worn out or whatever. I just don't want to go to the gym, or I just don't want to get on the cushion and do mindfulness or meditation today.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm going to, because I know that I always feel great afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, every time I always say, boy, I'm glad I pushed myself to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to recognize that that's going to happen. And I'm going to get down on the mat and do yoga, do whatever. Which is good, because you talked about kindness replacing. I used to say really terrible things to myself mm-hmm. to get me off the couch, mm-hmm. call myself all sorts of things.
Right.
So that I would do it. And the outcome was great at that time in my life, but doesn't mm-hmm. work anymore, so this kindness stuff is
right. Like, let that be the driver. Yeah. Let that be the driver. Let kindness, because we show up differently. Like totally. when you're driven by a degree of care and concern for yourself, that feels very different than when you're actually evoking fear and judgment. I mean, it feels different in the body. It motivates you differently.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, right. Totally. Right. Totally. I mean, when I pause to be with something that's difficult and come at it from a place of, I care about me. I care about this feeling. Like, why is this here? That feels very different than, this is a crappy feeling and I want it to go away.
Yeah, totally.
That feels so different. And I think
most people are right
different.
There, mm-hmm. it's the easy button. Just make it go away.
Yep. So I'll just share an experience. This was several years ago. I had had a really bad interaction with someone that I was really trying to communicate. Heartfelt feelings, and I don't think I did a very good job of it. And I think they interpreted what I was saying in like a judgmental way. And, I can see today, like why they felt the way they felt, but they just shut me out. Like they just completely shut me out, ghosted me in a sense. And I remember I spent months just agonizing over that moment, I would get on my cushion and I would just be agitated and I would just run through my mind the situation over and over again. And if they would just, and blah, 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 lots of judgment, lots of ill will, I was just trying to take care of myself in that moment. And right. I kid you not, months right. on the cushion with that feeling. And then it finally dawned on me that rather than being caught up in the thoughts associated with it, that I really needed to drop into my body and really feel what was there, and to really, I started to put some loving kindness into it, but not loving kindness towards them. I started with loving kindness towards myself.
The hardest one.
Yeah. And it broke me. I mean, it was like a bubble popped. It was like a bubble popped and all of this tension that had been held for months finally popped. And I realized underneath the anger was just a really deep sadness that something that I was doing that was really trying to take care of myself could not be heard by this other person. And it absolutely shifted how I oriented. It was like, it was finally over. What I mean? It was like really had finally reached a conclusion because I had just allowed that feeling of sadness to come through.
Right.
That it finally had a space to be expressed. And it was hard, but it was hard because it was unfamiliar.
It just goes to prove that you can throw all these things in a backpack to deal with later, but you're going to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're going to die with them. I mean, they're going to start to take their toll.
You're going to have to deal with them or you're mm-hmm. going to, they're going to take a major toll.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I think my whole point is that those kindness bears fruit that fear does not.
Wow, agree.
And I think bringing that to the practice is so fundamental to really supporting ourselves in these difficult moments,
Perfect. No, so I would say in closing, do you have any advice? If people find themselves hindered.
Hindered
by the hindrances, what is your recommendation in terms of, helping them process it? What would be, and I think you've outlined it pretty well, but concisely and succinctly as a takeaway, people feel themselves feeling anxiousness, anger, apathy, laziness, doubt. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how do I reconcile this? What are your recommendations?
I do have just a few. Sure. One is, working with this idea of impermanence, that like whatever's here, whatever we're experiencing that we're having difficulty with, knowing that whatever emotion is present, it will dissipate, right? Once again, and also this idea of getting familiar with the signature of what we're experiencing and really trying to, I think maybe the word I want to use is soften rather than pushing against it, really just allowing it to be present without necessarily being motivated by it to take some kind of unskillful action. when we think about ill will, once again, this idea that this is going to come, it's going to arise, we can name it, it's, you know, I'm feeling anger, and we'll notice that it will decline as well, that it has its path, acknowledging it, being present with it, bringing awareness to it, bringing acts of loving kindness and compassion, practices of loving kindness and compassion can be helpful. Anxiousness and worry have a lot to do with energy, like having too much energy. So things that allow us to move, to dissipate and dispel the anxiety can be really perfect. Helpful. Yep. Boy, I'm going to run out of time here.
Yeah.
But once again, apathy and laziness, movement, splashing water on our faces, you know, moving into a different style of practice. And then finally, doubt, bringing curiosity to the two moments of doubt, like really investigating when doubt's present.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Amy Schoenhoff, mindfulheartland.com, everyone. We appreciate you tuning in, and we appreciate you. And I think some great stuff, very actionable, as we always try.
That's what we want.
To be is, you know, people take something away and they can use that readily. So thanks so much. Tune in next time, everyone. Appreciate you.
Hi, Matt Hastings here, sending a thank you for watching this episode of the Warriors Ascent podcast. You know, we strive to build a community of warriors made up of our nation's veterans and first responders. And to reach as many of those in need as possible, we need your help. Please just smash that like button and comment or share our content. Warriors Ascent is a Kansas City-based nonprofit that aids veterans and first responders with PTS. I went through this effective program and want those that are struggling to find what I found. Check us out on our website at warriorsascent.org.